afternoon. So I always, when I go up to preach, I make like a short-witted joke about like, oh, my name's TJ, for those of you like fortunate enough not to like meet me. But then I come back from college in 2 years, and sure enough, there's like 25% of you that I do not know. So yeah, that's a good sign that we have a good growing church. But my name is TJ Mullins. I'm going into my senior year at West Coast Baptist College. I am studying missions. And during my early teen years of preaching in this church, there's two people I made fun of. One was pastor for being short, and God stopped my height at about 5'6". The second one was Brother Jay for being bald, and I'm only 20, so... So I want to publicly declare today that Brother Dennis has a horrible voice. The worst voice I've ever heard, although I think it's a little bit too late for grace there. Yeah, so if you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll be starting in verse number 16. Yeah, I feel bad for my parents. Every time I get up here, they like hold their breath for the first 10 minutes. It's really bad. I see their faces turning purple, trying not to like yell at me for what I'm saying up here, but praise the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 19. And I'll start reading in, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll start reading in verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ. So I was preparing the sermon in college for my sermon prep class. And the Lord kind of laid this on my heart as I was going through my Bible looking for a passage to preach on. And when I read this verse, I was reminded of my class that I helped teach back at college. At West Coast, we all serve in different ministries throughout Lancaster Baptist Church. And the one that I've been working the past 2.5, 3 years has been the second and third grade bus class. The bus class up there, it's pretty rough. We have a lot of fights to break out. These kids, they come from like really, really rough homes. My first day working there, actually, one of the students told me a story about how his dad had gone to jail for doing things to his mom. And that set me up for 3 years. I said, God, this is the ministry I'm going to be working. These kids, they need some people to love on them. And when I read this passage, there was one specific instance that came to my mind. There was this one young man, his name is Clinton. He attends the bus maybe once or twice a month. And I was sitting... in the back watching over them. These kids, like, sometimes they're really rough. Sometimes they're, like super locked in, like, super paid attention to the teacher. This time, the teacher hadn't started to speak yet, and I noticed Clinton looking over to one of the guys. It was his first time on the bus. And he whispered at him, hey, do you know how to go to heaven? And he, like, so I was like, that's interesting. So I lean in a little bit. And in the next 5 minutes, he gives... pretty much a perfect example of a gospel presentation. He goes through, did he know that God sent his son to die for our sins? He said, all you gotta do is believe in him. And it was really adorable. And like I said, second and third grade boys, so anywhere from like 7 to 9 years old. And and it was incredible because as he was going through this gospel presentation, he kept looking back at me to like make sure that he was like saying things right. And I just gave him the thumbs up. Like, he expected me to jump in there. I'm like, no, bro, you got this. You got this. And I was reading this verse. That kind of example is what I believe Paul was writing about in this verse. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ. I believe through this one verse, there are three principles that we can apply to our lives in regards of preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel. I think that first principle would be free of self-glory. In other words, our motive. The Bible says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Now, the author of this was Paul the Apostle. If he had anything to glory of, it was of his gospel message. There were days that he would preach and multitudes would come to Christ. There were churches that he started all across the world. He was amongst the group that when people said they have turned the world upside down. If Paul had something to glory of, it would be his preaching. It would be the way that he shared the gospel with elegance. It would be the many people that he had led to the Lord. But we see here that he said, For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Now you see, all the glory from the preaching of the word of God, from the sharing of the gospel, should be directed towards God. And we see that Paul really is a great example of this. We read this in verse Philippians chapter 1. Paul writes to the church of Philippi. And he shares something that's really interesting in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. I'll read those for you. It says, "Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice." Now we see the Apostle Paul writing here in the church to the church of Philippi. He said, there are people out there that are preaching solely for the sake of my downfall. And you think the great Apostle Paul, the man who started churches throughout the entirety of the world at the time, the man who preached to kings and nations, and here people are preaching to his downfall. People are preaching just against Paul specifically. But we see his humility saying, Christ is preached nonetheless. So we see here Paul's great attitude towards the sharing of the gospel. He understands that if Christ is preached, God is magnified, and I am not. So the question that I have for you guys today is, what is your motive for sharing the gospel? And if you are sharing the gospel, what's your heart behind it? Paul, although he, again, like I said, I can't say it enough, one of the greatest missionaries to have ever lived, he still pushed that point that though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Now, I have a question here. When we share the gospel of Christ, what is our heart behind it? Because we can see all throughout scriptures that there are people with good deeds added to their account, with good actions that they have done, but the motive behind it wasn't really great. I mean, take Judas, for example. Judas was with Christ throughout, he was one of the 12 disciples. He was with Christ throughout the whole ministry. Surely a disciple of Christ, one of the 12, who was picked, handpicked by Jesus, surely he would have a good heart behind it. But if you're in church tonight, I'm assuming you know what Judas did. He betrayed Jesus, and his motive behind it was greed. So there are instances that I'm sure that we can find ourselves in that we share the gospel or that we do good works, and behind it is a heart of greed, a heart of pride. I know one time I was door knocking in Lancaster. We're in a kind of more rough side of town. And I was knocking by myself. It was just me and this other guy. And this other guy was really ambitious. So we just completely split up. So I was completely alone. And there was like this cul-de-sac. And there in like the corner of the cul-de-sac, I saw this like, I can only call them a gang of people. I was scared of them. They were dressed all rough. They had the pants sag and the bandanas. They scared me. I'm just a guy all alone, freshman year of Bible college. What am I going to do? So I purposed it in my heart. I said, God, I'm only going to even talk to these people if they're still there by the time I make it all the way around this little like dead end street. And I was like a perfect plan in my mind. I was like, that sounds so good. There's no way. They had their scooters out. They're about to go off. Like they're about to leave. Surely they won't be there. I go up to the first store. There's a no soliciting sign. So I'm like, okay, there's like 7 more of these doors to go. We're good. I knock on the next door. Hey, we're not interested. Closes the door immediately. I'm like, okay. That took up a whole 40 seconds. We're good. We're on track. These kids will not be there. Sure enough, 7 doors later, done in 2 minutes. If only that was my like average door knocking day. Nah, I'm playing. But I make it all the way around. And sure enough, those kids are there. So I take the big gulp in, pull out the tracks from my pocket. I'm like, hey guys, I'm from Lancaster Baptist Church. Would you guys like these Bible verses? And like all 4 of them looked over to me and they were like, yeah, that sounds great. And I was like, what? So I was like, have you ever been there before? And they're like, two of them said, no, I've never been. The other two said, yeah, we were in the bus ministry here and there. And I was like, oh, great. Do you mind if I share something with you? And like, I don't know, a whole pitch there. I was like, okay, surely these kids won't want to hear anymore. They'll just say, no, we're good. We're about to leave and have fun, like any teenagers would. But they all said, yeah, tell us about it. So I sat there, and with the dawn of Romans, walked through the whole gospel, and all four of them accepted Christ as their savior. But I walked away from that thinking, man, God really humbled me there. My motive behind sharing the gospel with them was not, let's get them saved. My motive behind sharing the gospel with them was, how fast can I get away from there? I don't want a shot. But God, despite my pride and despite my bad motive, he did a work that literally all the glory I can give is to him. Because I cannot glory in that illustration the entire time. Even while I was sharing the gospel, I had the wrong motive. And even as I left. So in all things, we can glorify God. And in all things, whether good or bad, the glory should be to God, even if the outcome is not what we expected. We also see that Paul was filled with necessity. He said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. He said, for necessity is laid upon me. Paul was filled with necessity to preach the Bible. And I really like that word necessity. You see, in this instance, he didn't say, I am filled with great burden to share the gospel. He didn't say, I'm filled with a great desire to preach the gospel. Because both of those are great, but that's not the word that he uses here. He says, I am filled with necessity to preach the gospel. For Paul, this was not a choice to preach the gospel. This was a command from God to preach the gospel. And we can think to ourselves as well, I'm not called to preach. Well, that's wonderful because it doesn't matter if any of you guys are called to preach the gospel. We're all commanded to preach the gospel. Jesus' last command to earth was, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Paul understood this in the passage that it was not a desire simply to preach the gospel. It was a necessity. Now, at West Coast Baptist College, we were required to go soul winning every week. All the staff, all the students, once a week. And we, oftentimes, when you have to do something every single week, typically you lose heart behind it pretty quickly. So it's really easy on the week report to put in, no, I didn't go soul winning. Or yes, I went soul winning even when we didn't. But the thing is that there is always a necessity to share the gospel of Christ. No matter where you go, there's always a necessity. It's not, even when it's not desirable to share the gospel, even when you're like, that person looks mean, that person looks rough, that person looks like they already know Jesus. You don't know their heart. I don't know their heart. God knows their heart, and why not share the gospel with them anyways? I would say the worst thing I can say is no, but we saw what's happened to Paul. But Paul said that he rejoices in the Lord always. Paul, when he was in the prison, sang praises to the Lord, and he was in the prison for preaching the gospel. So no matter what the consequences might be, there is still a necessity to preach the gospel. You see, if preaching the gospel should feel like a necessity in our lives, it doesn't always feel like a desire. Sometimes it feels like a chore. But the fact of the matter is that there is a need for lost souls to come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. There is a need, not a desire, not a burden. There is a need for the people of Preble County to hear about the gospel of Christ. There is a need of the people of Indiana to hear about the gospel of Christ. The people in Richmond, the people in Brookville, the people in West Alexandria, the people in Eaton. So I'd encourage every single one of us to pray for that sense of urgency, to pray for God to burden our hearts and for us to open our eyes that every soul we go by, whether it's at Speedway or whether it's sometimes even in church, there might still be a soul that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter where you're at. Just as Paul had a need, just as Paul had necessity laid upon him to preach the gospel, we should feel that ourselves, as Christ commanded us to preach the gospel to every creature. It's not always a want, but it's always a need. Next, we see that Paul was fearful of failure. He said, "Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ." This is where the heart is. Paul expresses that woe is unto him if he does not preach. Is woe unto us when we feel that we have failed to share the gospel of Christ? When you go into the gas station and you see that family of four over there and you have a track knowing that there's a great church or a great youth ministry here, do you have that burden when you walk away from that without handing them a track that you have failed? Because you can get really hard to it really fast. I know that as personal example because it gets old to me really fast. It's so easy when you walk into the store to pump or to go pay for our gas at the pump, just kind of walk down like this, look around, we're good, okay. And then pay the cashier and then quickly bolt out. That's really easy. But lucky for us, the easy way is not always the best way. Sometimes we got to get off our high horse, and that includes myself, and share the gospel no matter what. Because the truth of the matter is, if the Holy Gospel, if the Holy Ghost leads us to share the gospel and we refuse, we don't just sin against ourselves, we sin against God. God daily gives us times to share the gospel with people. Unless you don't leave your house all day. But even if you leave your house all day, I've heard many examples of people within this church on their video games sharing the gospel with Jesus. So, I mean, if we can share our video games online, surely when we leave the store to go, when we go to the store to get gas, when we go to the store to get our groceries, there's at least one example. I want you guys to be praying about that. I'm going to pray about that. Whenever you go somewhere where there's other people, just pray, God, give me an opportunity to share the gospel. Because when we start praying for opportunities, you would be absolutely blown away with the amount of opportunities that God will give you to share the gospel of Christ. Absolutely blown away. And believe it or not, the conversation doesn't always need to end when you say, here's a tract, come to church on Sunday. Now, oftentimes, that is how it ends, but not always. I was going soul winning on the weekends, and I have really bad luck, I could say. Luck isn't the right term. I have a bad motive when I go to LA because Los Angeles is exactly what it's cracked up to be, and that's not great. So I've been doing on this weekend Jewish outreach where we go into LA and we try to share the gospel with people, and I have like zero reception. I've shared the gospel so few times over those weekends, and it got discouraging. So then I stepped down and I went in another person's group where I was no longer the leader. It was somebody else leading over me. And he would get onto every single one of us if we don't ask this one question. And he said, do you have a minute? That's like the winning question of the week. I went from like maybe one gospel presentation a week at most to like, I shared the gospel like four or five people that day. That one phrase, do you have a minute? Hand somebody a track, invite them to church, and then you run away. No. I'm guilty of that. I do that a lot. But with every tract that you hand out, always ask that question. Hey, you got a minute? Because you see right here, it's not that he's saying, woe is unto me if I hand out a church tract or don't hand out a church tract. It says right here, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ. Now, praise the Lord, these tracts have the gospel on it. How much better is it when you sit down and you say, hey, you have a minute? There's some really good stuff on here. You pull it out, and you see right here, it says, God loves you. And you see right here, although God loves us, our sin separates us from him. And then if you're reading this verse right here, it says that there's a price to be paid for that separation. And then the next line down, it says, although the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So necessity is laid upon us, and woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. There is a need for Christians to preach the gospel and to preach it with the right heart. Now, the question is, will you share the gospel? And if you do, will you have the right motives behind it?